B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
High to left field up there, and that ball gets over the shelf. That is gone. It's a three-run homer. And that ball is out of the ballpark. Gurriel smokes one. High fly, deep center field. That's into the batter's eye. Simeon with a home run.
This is ridiculous.
And that ball gets out of here. It's the second three-run homer of the day for Hernandez. 2-1, a high deep drive left field. They've gone yard again. This one smacked out of here by Bo Bichette. That ball is gone as well. Biggio with a blast. And Guerrero will crush this one to the opposite field, and that one is gone over the bullpen.
That is absolutely sick. And he says, shh, everybody quiet. This is a line drive to right that goes over the bullpen.
Wow. Two-run shot by Tellez as they have homered for the eighth time, and that is the record for a Red Sox pitching staff surrendering home runs at Fenway Park, 8 in one day.
So that's the record.
All right, resetting our top story on a reentry Monday. This Red Sox thing to me is just fascinating. As I said before, Maz, it's just so glaring. It just can't be that simple, can it? It can't be that obvious. This Red Sox team goes into the year. No one has hardly any expectations for them because they can't pitch. They have a bunch of bums on their staff for all intents and purposes. They don't have the pitching. Then they get into the season and all of a sudden they're pitching and they're winning. And all these guys that we put no stock in, Martin Perez or Garrett Richards or Nick Pivetta, start mowing people down, going through the rotation, going through their turns, and the next thing you know, the Red Sox are in first place, are contending, and they're pitching. Like, where the hell did this come from? Well, this is great. Then Major League Baseball, about a week, 2 weeks ago, says, the pitchers across Major League Baseball are abusing foreign substances, and we're going to start to crack down. And they start sending out monitors, and they start looking at video, and start warning teams and cracking down. They suspended a couple of minor league players, and said in a week or so, we're going to have a full memorandum and a full new set of rules. But in the meantime, we're cracking down. So start taking a look at this. And immediately when they start doing that, the Red Sox pitching staff goes in the tank. And now they have had the worst week in Major League Baseball. They can't get anybody out. The Major League staff, I mean, it was sort of like a line of demarcation was last Friday, June 4th, week ago Friday. Sports Illustrated dropped a big expose story on this whole situation. Since that story on June 4th, the Red Sox have not gotten a quality start. They got a quality start that night from Nathan Eovaldi. They haven't gotten one since. And their staff ERA, their starting staff ERA is over 8. An ERA of over 8. They gave up a record 8 home runs yesterday. And now here we are. They can't doctor the baseball and they can't get anyone out. I mean, to me, how am I led to believe anything other than the fact that this team has been a complete fraud this year?
You're not.
You can't.
Yeah, you're not. Again, and look, the reality is, on some level, it's probably not that simple, but none of that matters.
It looks so obvious.
Yes,
and
but because it's a factor and a big one. And so, like, and you mentioned the Jason Mastrodonato story in the Boston Herald where he said something like, you know, Eduardo, it was either Martin Perez or Eduardo Rodriguez's changeup went down by 150 RPM.
So since the night the SI story ran, I'll read from them just to give you the numbers again. The night the SI story ran on June 4th, Red Sox starter Nathan Eovaldi took the ball at Yankee Stadium and threw 6 strong innings. Since then, StatCast data showed some interesting results, including that night, though. Eovaldi's spin rates were down on most of his pitches. It was down 26 RPM on his cutter, down 30 RPM on his slider, and down 51 RPM on his fastball, and down 166 RPM on his splitter. Then over the next 10 days, 3 other Red Sox starters saw their spin rates on their off-speed pitches drop, and the results got substantially worse. In Eduardo Rodriguez's start the day after Eovaldi's, the spin rate on his signature changeup dropped 196 RPM. 2 days later, Nick Pivetta's slider dropped 64 RPM and his curve dropped 24 RPM. in Rodriguez's next start. His go-to changeup once again dropped 96 RPM compared to his yearly average. He says Pivetta's spin rate on his curve dropped again in his next start. And then on Sunday, I think he means yesterday, when Martin Perez was shelled for 5 earned runs and recorded only 4 outs, he was down 40 RPM on his sinker and his cutter. So immediately that story drops. The league says we're cracking down. Get a grip on this, so to speak. And all of a sudden, the spin rates plummet on the Red Sox and they can't get anybody out. I mean, that's what happened.
I mean, I just look at that story coming out. Major League Baseball is now aware of it. This stuff is, you know, we got to stop using it. I just look at the numbers based over the weekend in this series. 8 home runs. Richards, 11 hits in 5 innings. Perez goes an inning. Pivetta, 4 home runs in 5 innings. It's all statistically improbable. What am I supposed to believe?
Oh, you absolutely come to the conclusion that they need the junk. They need it. They need the glue. So what other conclusion can you come to under those circumstances? And
Cora comes back here. They start spinning the crap out of the ball, winning games no one thought they would win. The league says, okay, everybody, cut it out. We know who you are. And overnight, the Red Sox can't get anybody out. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And in that Mastro Donato story, and again, this is why the Red Sox are worried about it, for all those reasons. But in that Mastro Donato story, it says that a drop of 150 RPM, even most people acknowledge, translates into a performance difference of only about 5%. But you know what? In baseball, 5% makes all the difference in the world. You know what the difference between a 230 hitter and a 280 hitter is? 5 hits and 100 at-bats. 5%. That's the difference. It makes all the difference in the world, for crying out loud.
Well, and I think it's more than 5%, frankly.
Yeah, but he said at that RPM, most guys increase, the increases you're seeing in some of these guys is double that.
Well, my guess is it helps sucky pitchers more.
Of course.
And then the gap is bigger. So what I'm saying is I bet the gap for suck pitchers is more than 5% because they need it, right?
But also the RPMs for those guys all went up by a bigger number, Mike. So again, he's just saying that if you limit it to 150, okay, that the change is 5%. I'm telling you, 5% is big. And the RPM drop is greater than that. These guys were added 300 spins a minute. They were adding that. Based on the Sports Illustrated story, you were seeing some of these increases even bigger.
I mean, and I do love, so everyone's starting to write it now. Like, 8 games, they just can't ignore it. At 4 or 5 games, no one really wanted to touch it. But now that it's 8 and every game seems to be worse than the one before, Abraham, Mastronato, they all have to write it. So they're writing it. But they still put in here, well, it could also be a matter of fatigue. The Red Sox now have made this many starts and these guys haven't had many chances to rest, and so the fatigue's catching up to him. Or it's the weather, right? It's warming up, so the ball's traveling better. Or you're facing these teams a second or third time, and so they've got a book on you now. It's like, ha, 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 no, you were cheating. Now you can't cheat. That's what's happening. And I love now this sort of they're trying to excuse it, trying to give me another reason. But what else could it be? Alex Cora, one of the biggest recidivist cheaters in all of sports, sorry, he is, returns. All of a sudden, you catch up with everybody with all this crap they're putting on their hands and loading up the baseballs with. You start spinning the crap out of the ball. All of a sudden, a bunch of bum pitchers you had no faith in are getting people out and winning games. Then Major League Baseball says, we have a problem. We're going to crack down. And overnight, you can't get anybody out. It's like that is, like I said before, I'm someone, as a talk show host, nuance doesn't help me out. I don't need nuance. I don't need details. I don't need anything that gets in the way of a clean, clear argument. This is perfect for me.
Oh, no. This is dead center.
The SI story comes out June 4th. Draw the line June 4th. Give me the numbers after. The numbers after June 4th on this Red Sox pitching staff? 8.20, 8.36 ERA, depending on who you read. In the last 15 days, in the last 7 days, the Red Sox ranked 29th in MLB and ERA. 29th in ERA, as you put in your notes there, Maz. What else do I need to see? What else do I need to know? You were cheating. And now you can't cheat. And now that you can't cheat, what are you? Now that the Red Sox can't cheat, what are they?
Bad.
I mean, I can't think.
Oh, you asked. That's the answer.
It's not going to be like this, like we've seen over the weekend for their starters. They'll have to relearn to pitch without the goo. And so these first few games are going to be an adjustment period, and they're going to look like what you saw over the weekend. But they're not going to get back to where they were pre-goo.
No, definitely not.
Or when they were on it, Rabbit.
No, there was always a question with these guys being able to sustain it anyway. Now you take the goo away. You take away the glue and forget it. Everything comes apart.
I mean, the numbers are great. Sox starters have allowed 40 earned runs on 66 hits over 39 innings in the last 9 games, a period of time that coincides with MLB leaking out the news that it would soon instruct umpires to crack down on pitchers putting illegal substances on the ball. Yeah, here's another one. The Red Sox have given up 27 earned runs on 40 hits over only 22 and two-thirds innings in their last 5 games.
They're getting pounded.
The last quality start, again, was June 4th, Eovaldi at Yankee Stadium. The rotation since has an 8.36 ERA and a 2.10 whip in the 8 games since. All pitching, if you want to go all the whole staff, not just the starters, in the last 8 games, 61 runs allowed. 58 earned runs, 21 home runs, 107 hits, 38 walks, and the team ERA, all team ERA, starters and relievers, is 7.15. All since they said to Major League Baseball and their pitchers, you can't put the crap on the ball anymore.
And you know what the biggest change in the Red Sox from last year to this year was in terms of what they did better than anything else? Keeping the ball in the ballpark. They weren't giving up home runs. They gave up 8 of them yesterday.
It's flying
out of
the park.
What did you say? 21 in the last 8 games? They're serving them up like freaking
21 in the last 8 games.
It's like they're handing out peanuts in the stands. They are serving up meatballs left and right. They're getting pumped. Pavetta gave up 4 of them the other night. They're getting absolutely blistered all over the place.
And everyone knows it. Everyone knows the elephant in the room. And it's comical to hear Eckersley and O'Brien try and talk around it yesterday, when on Saturday they were talking pretty openly about it, when you had one tapper there from, was it Biggio who was up, or someone was up for Toronto, and he pounds the ball, this high chopper that just sort of sticks into the ground like a sandwich. And they show a close-up of the ball, and there's all sorts of crap and things hanging off of it. And Eckersley says, look at all the crap on that ball. Is someone going to take a look at it? And they're openly talking about this spider tack and all of this. And they were talking about quite a bit on Saturday. Then yesterday, as this Martin Perez was giving up gopher ball after gopher ball, they stopped short. I think they were instructed not to say anything more about it. Because as you said, they're all trying to protect Cora. So this is the thing with this team now, is that Cora, again, as a repeat offender, is on double secret probation. You know he has to be. Anything that he gets caught with subsequently will be a big punishment, multiple year ban, lifetime ban, something like this. So he can't be anywhere near this crap. And so the word goes out, we're cracking down. And you know, he goes through the clubhouse and says, guys, put it away. We're done. So they put it away and they're done. And now they can't keep the ball in the park. Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
You know, it is. It's like an on-off switch. I mean, in 1 second, there's daylight. You press the button, it's darkness.
It gets worse by the game.
Yeah. And again, the Blue Jays are still in here. They're salivating. The one thing I would do that if I'm the Red Sox that I haven't seen them do yet, drill somebody. Will somebody drill someone? Is tonight Eovaldi? It's Eovaldi, right?
It's Eovaldi. Yep.
He throws 100 miles an hour. Hit Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his fat ass. Or hit Bichette, who swings from his ass every time. And by the way, I'm not condoning headhunting. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, it used to be that when a team went up there and started gripping and ripping and hitting 8 home runs off you because they knew what was coming, someone would drill someone in the hip and that'd be the end of it, or the ribs.
I mean, this graphic we're throwing up on the simulcast with, you know, your starters over their last 2 starts. I mean, it's just, go on down the line. Eddie Rodriguez, 9 earned runs. Garrett Richards, 10 innings pitched, 7 earned runs. Pavetta, 9 innings pitched, 8 earned runs. Martin Perez, 3 1/3, 11 earned runs. You think he could use some Spotrac or some spider tack right about now?
Mike, Garrett Richards the other night gave up 12 balls that had exit velocities greater than 100 miles per hour. It was going in faster than it came out.
And it's like the first
other way around.
The first 2 months they're going through this rotation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 winning games are in first place, and we're all sitting there going, huh? I guess these guys are actually pretty good. Cora knows what he's doing. No, wrong. He was just cheating. So that, I think, is still a lead story here in town. But you can call us and talk about whatever you want back to your phones right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass. What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Because the league is cracking down on pitchers and substances, anytime a pitcher has a bad day, people automatically say, oh, maybe he was using something before. Is that fair, and does that bother you?
I'm not a cheater pitcher, man. I've been around for a long time, and I don't use that kind of stuff. I just go out there and compete with what I got that day. I don't put anything on my arm. I don't put anything on my glove. Whoever did, that's their problem. But, you know, it's not because we've been not doing good or we're not pitching good for the last 3 or 4 days. It's because the sticky things. No. It's because we not located the pitcher where we want it. If we go back again and throw the pitch where we want, we're going to be fine. But it's not because we've been using the sticky things. No way.
Sticky things. Martin Perez. Sorry, Martin. Impossible to believe. Impossible to believe that this dramatic drop in performance in the last 10 days is the result of weather, just a coincidental lack of location, the fact you're playing teams a second or a third time. Sorry. You can't goop the ball like you were at the beginning of the year. I've been led to believe there's nothing else at stake.
Right, that he or anyone else in the Red Sox are using the excuse, well, we're playing a couple of teams with good offenses in Houston and Toronto. What do you want us to do? They just played them a couple of weeks ago when the pitchers were still using the goo and their pitching held up okay. In fact, Perez was great against Houston. So what are we supposed to believe? Or just they're going on a bad stretch right now.
Yeah, although I am starting to wonder whether Perez was the only one who used it in that series because they get their asses kicked in the first three games. But even so, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. They have a manager who just served a one-year suspension and pitchers who can't succeed without the super glue. They need the super tack or whatever it is on their hands. Find something. Find some sort of invisible adhesive that you can put on your fingers because you're going to suck without it. And just quickly, Mike, as I listen to Martin Perez, this is another part of the story. I'm starting to wonder if they believe they can't pitch without it. Like, there's that element.
I'm sure a lot of it's in their head, too.
Yes, like, they don't, but they're going out, they're having all this success, all of a sudden you're going to give up the adhesive. Now they get out to the mound, they start getting their asses kicked, and now they're going, uh-oh, we can't pitch without it. And they're right.
I've never seen anything so dramatic in my life. Cause and effect, I've never seen it. Anyway, back to your calls. Jake in the suburbs on Don Sweeney and the Bruins. Go ahead, Jake.
I just want to bring up a terrible Sweeney trade that you guys have overlooked. His first move when he came to Boston was his first inclination that he's obsessed with the Mass guys when he traded Riley Smith for Jimmy Hayes. Riley Smith, who is the assistant captain or alternate captain for Vegas, and on a per-game basis over the 4 years there, has averaged 60 points a season. And there's your second-line right wing that we've been looking for, and he was in our hands.
I think Riley Smith blows. I think he's a function of what's around him there. Very little is asked of him there. Not that I watch the Vegas Golden Knights every day, but that's a big, strong, fast team, and he's a little fellow that's just sort of asked to pot the occasional goal. I gather, and that's what he does. Here, he'd be lost and would suck just like he was lost and sucked when he was here.
And they're good. That team's good.
Oh, my God. And Riley Smith has very, very little to do with it. Not that Jimmy Hayes was any great call. I mean, believe me, I guess if I had to have Riley Smith or Jimmy Hayes, I'm taking Riley Smith. At least Riley Smith is an NHL player. Oh, boy, Jimmy Hayes. Woof.
Bruins should have gotten Mark Stone.
Matt in New Bedford. Go ahead, Matt.
So I think it is time to hit the nuclear button. That's what I want them to do. That's what they need to do. They need to get rid of Sweeney, and they need to get rid of Cassidy, especially after his comments of, this is what the players wanted. This is your decision, dude. Man up, show some balls, and put the kid in. And Big Jim, when they eventually do re-sign Tuca, I'll be right behind you, storming the garden in my underwear and a gas mask to pitch off a pounder right on Sweeney's desk. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Yes, us anti-raskers ready to storm the TD Garden.
So you think they're going back in?
Oh, without question.
Yeah, look, I think that the fact that they went back to him and had him start when he's injured with a torn hip labrum, they're indebted to this guy for whatever the hell reason. And Cassidy, I think, all but confirmed that today. Well, you know, the leadership in the room also wanted to have him out there. I'm paraphrasing, but the guys are behind him. So as long as you have guys like Bergeron and Marchand here, they're going to want Rask back. They're going to end up paying this guy. For two straight years, I'm going to feel like, oh, well, going into the offseason, at least we don't have to look at Rask anymore. He'll be back. I'm more convinced of it than ever.
I feel like Murray feels, because I thought the only chance of him not coming back was him retiring. But I also think that they got to get someone to start the year. Like, they can't just wait until February for Tuca. Don't they have to go get a veteran guy, or
yes,
cheap one?
Yes.
So maybe that boxes him out. Maybe that's a good thing.
This will be the DN Van Lines move around the league. In sports, making moves are tough decisions. When moving your home or business, the decision is simple. Go with My Mover, DN Van Lines, at 1-800-51-MOVER or dnvanlines.com. They've moved a lot of folks here at the station. We're all thrilled with the work that they do, and so will you. DN Van Lines, 1-800-51-MOVER. Go out and get another veteran for Tuukka Rask. Not just because Rask is unreliable, but you know now that this team can't quit Tuukka Rask. They can't quit him. The players love him. The media fawns over the guy. And if you know that when they get into a spot next year, if Swayman is here, Rask is going to be over his shoulder, and it's going to be distracting. And if ever Swayman has a bad week or a bad month, or he gets into the postseason and loses a game, you know the chorus to start Tuukka Rask from the people that cover the team is going to get in the way. And who knows, given the way the players feel about him, and the coach just defers to the players, they'd actually go to the guy just to have him lose again. And we have to deal with this whole thing all over again. And you think that's going to put Swayman in the best position to succeed? Come on. Be done with it. Enough already. Please. How about Dean and Shrewsbury on the Nets and Kevin Durant's bodyguard? Go ahead, Dean.
The Warden, Wilby, Sweat, and the Bitch are never going to win a championship. These guys are just way too sensitive. They're not focused on basketball. What Kyrie and Durant said about Boston earlier, and what Kevin Durant's bodyguard did, just shows these guys' heads aren't in the right place.
So, Dean, to me, it's the bodyguard that's worse than anything. I mean, I think what Kyrie and Durant did with Boston and that thing was deplorable, but that doesn't get in the way of them winning a championship. You can be deplorable on that level, and if you're competitive on the floor, still win. The bodyguard thing speaks to a lack of toughness and competitiveness, or just pamperedness. Like, how pampered and shielded are you that you have to have your bodyguard run on the floor?
Yeah, they're soft. The team's soft. The core players are soft. Good, Murray. Sorry.
Well, we were trying to figure out if we've ever seen anything like this before, and none of us had. But Christian Arkin texted me and said, James Harden's bodyguard ran onto the floor in 2019 to break up something between he and Deontay Murray.
Oh, my God. What? So this is just a Jerry Springer episode.
Yeah.
It's just there's bodyguards waiting in the wings to fly on camera.
Pretty much.
In case someone gets in each other's faces. Oh, my God.
I love hearing Dean and Shrewsbury use the word bitch, by the way. That's a good one. That is not a marriage I ever would have married. Dean and Shrewsbury saying the word bitch.
They'll never win because they're all a bunch of bitches.
Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. Reentry Mondays are brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank, right, Jim?
Yes. If you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or simply looking for a free checking account, visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, in your neighborhood since 1848.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
3-2. A little topper here along the first baseline. On the grass, it's going to die right there for a base hit. How about that? It just died there. And the bases are going to be loaded.
Well, he thought about making a play for a second. Then he said, maybe it'll go foul. And it didn't. It bit on the grass and would not go foul. Watch. One hop. That's it. The end. Look at that ball. Looks like it's all cut up. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Look at that. What happened to that ball?
I'd like to know.
Man.
Especially this day and age, I'd really like to know.
So I've enjoyed some of the Dave O'Brien and Eckersley stuff in these games where they're talking about it, not talking about it. I felt like yesterday they weren't allowed to talk about it. They talked around it. They talked right up until it, till they got to the fact, you know, just the elephant in the room. The Red Sox pitching staff benefited from these foreign substances. As soon as the league said we're going to cut down on foreign substances and the Red Sox apparently cut back their usage, they can't get anybody out. It's like the elephant in the room. And Eckersley and O'Brien obviously aren't allowed to go all the way there, but I felt like they want to go kind of there. And that was Saturday night when a chopper into the dirt just stuck in the ground, again, like a sandwich lofted from 75 yards or something.
So as Eck was talking about the ball being cut, maybe that's the solution. Get rid of the adhesive and start cutting the ball. So they come looking for the junk. There's no junk on the ball, but you've cut it to give yourself a better grip so you can leverage your hand inside, you know, a man-made seam, for lack of a better. It's a common way to do it.
Right, so now you got a razor blade out there or something?
Something. I mean, Greg Maddux was notorious for it. He used to do it with his fingernail.
Belt buckle.
He used to, cut the ball with his fingernail or whatever. At least you get accused of it, and which means he probably was doing it. And so maybe that's how they try to get around it, except they better figure it out fast, because if they don't, they're going to be 8 games out. Seriously, talk about a nosedive. Holy crap. So unreal.
So again, I was enjoying the first inning yesterday, just listening to these guys, and we'll play the whole thing. I just spliced together the 13-minute top of the first inning, where I felt every other line was some sort of allusion to what's gone on or some sort of reference to it or just edging right up to the line and then backing down from it. Starting with the fact that Martin Perez looked pretty good 2 weeks ago when he faced the Astros in these good lineups. Now can't get him out. And that's where this will start. This is Nesson in the top of the first yesterday with Eck and O'Brien. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'll tell you what. Game he pitched last time was totally opposite of the game he pitched in Houston. Probably his best game ever as a Red Sox. But he's kind of picking last time out.
That smoke, that's fair, too, down the line. Dahlbeck with a dive, couldn't come up with it. And it'll be a base hit for Semien, so he stays hot with the bat.
Well, high changeup right there, belt high. He's all over it.
Semien off the bag at first, 3-1 coming. And he walked him. So not a great start, first and second for Vladimir Guerrero.
Yeah, the way this rotation has been pitching, this is just glaring. I mean, you know, everybody having a lot of trouble early in the game, whether it's Richards or Favetta, and now Perez.
Swing and a drive, high to left field, up there, and that ball gets over the shelf. That is gone. It's a 3-run homer for Teoscar Hernandez, and the home runs keep on coming as Toronto grabs an early 3-0 lead.
Yeah, two mistakes this inning with changeups, and he paid big time. You're hoping this ball hit the wall. You were begging for this ball to hit the wall. But a changeup in his eyes, and that's a 3-run Johnson, and that hurts.
Nice, sir.
Home run number 6 over the last, 10 innings with this club. Change up right there. And this is a ball that he normally has great command of, the changeup, and it's out of the ballpark.
Home runs are just killing the Red Sox rotation lately, and we have never said that this season until now.
I started to talk about it yesterday. I will not talk about it for a while because it just seems like it's just balls leaving the ballpark regular.
But all of a sudden, swinging a high fly. That got in on him, but he hit it a long way, and that ball is out of the ballpark. Gurriel smokes one to make it 4-0 Toronto. Goodness gracious.
This is getting ridiculous, huh? I mean,
4-0 Blue Jays. Vigio will rip this one down the line. That continues to roll. That's for extra bases. Verdugo has to dig it out. And what an ugly start for Martin Perez, just like his last start. He's getting knocked around.
Yeah, this is frightening. It really is. It makes you afraid to say it's not an easy thing to be a pitcher. Somebody's got to talk to him, and you'll see Bush go out there But this is a lunch piece going on right now here in the first inning. A couple dingers, everything hit hard. If you think about the velocity, just watched how he's throwing Perez. Very mediocre stuff. Obviously, the location is bad. When guys are hitting your cutter out of the ballpark, there's just not enough bite on it.
Not enough bite on it, Mass. I mean, so again, I just glaring, you know, this is the trouble they're having is glaring. He keeps pounding the thing with the changeups. Like, he really focuses on that. And when you look at the spin rate droppage in Mastronato's story, it's he really focused on the changeup, too. It's like the spin rate, I guess, is important for those guys, or they were using the stuff a lot on their changeup. And they're leaving changeups now because of it, because it's not biting or it's, you know.
Yeah, it's like the ball's slipping out of his hand.
And it's just sort of staying there on its same plane. You know, X says, I will not talk about it for a while. You know, we talked about this yesterday, but I won't talk about it for a while. Almost as if he was saying, yeah, all right, I won't talk about it anymore. Like the Red Sox told him to stop talking about it. And, you know, all the home runs, as O'Brien says, yeah, all of a sudden. So it's just the elephant in the room on this team, on this, you know, in this sport, but especially on this team.
Yeah, they're porked. They're porked and they know it. That's the thing, is they're looking at it right now and they're saying, so wait a minute here. We've got a staff of mediocre at best pitchers who now can't use adhesive and spin the crap out of it anymore. So what's going to happen? They're going to get their brains beat in, which means everyone's going to look at it and say, well, they were cheating. And we have a manager that we rehired after he was suspended for a year for being involved in one of the biggest cheating scandals in baseball history. They're stuck. There's no way out. There's no way out. They're going to get their brains beat in unless they start figuring out a way to cut the baseball.
It'll slowly get better for the starters, though. But again, they're not going to get back to where they were on the spider tech. No shot.
It just looks so bad.
Oh, yeah. It's a horrible, horrible look.
I mean,
but we all know there's a huge level of reality to it. That's the thing, is you look at it and say, these guys need it. Okay. Garrett Cole can pitch at a functional level without it. These guys? Good luck.
Okay, I'll wrap it up with your phones here, and we'll have an email coming up as well. Tyler in Manchester. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
We're good.
I just wanted to touch up on the Bruins from this past season. I think we played good in the first round. I just think we didn't have it in the second round, and we just kind of gave up.
I think you gave up in that last game, Tyler, and it's disappointing because I don't think you'd really – I don't really think you had that in you.
Showed up? It was Marchand and McAvoy, and that was about it.
But that was the first game I really thought they just sort of packed it in. So yeah. That's it. We're not good enough. It ain't going to happen. And so just slap it out here and get out of here. Which is, I don't know. Maybe, so that goes back to the coach, too. You know, it's the players wanted Rask, but they clearly had no faith in him bailing them out and carrying them to a win because they had no life in that game. It was the only game of the whole playoffs. They really had no life, no chance, weren't competitive. So if, like, that would piss me off if I'm Casty. It's like, I'm playing this guy because you want him. And then you're going to respond like that? Well, why don't you play like you believe in the guy then and put yourself out there? And they didn't.
Well, they didn't believe in any of it by then. Again, I mean, they're, you know, they probably thought they couldn't defend their own, you know, the front of their own net. So once they got behind, they caved. They completely caved. I mean, at that point, it was over.
Alan in Florida on the Sox. Hi, Alan.
Hey, guys. You know, Maz, you should know one thing. Listen, the Red Sox pitching staff, we all know, really stinks. But it's going down to the one thing where I said, so does the league. They're playing now Toronto, who right now is maybe the best hitting team in all of baseball. They just got finished playing Houston, who probably is the second best team in hitting baseball, along with the Dodgers. And so what do you think is going to happen? And it's not all the sticky stuff. I mean, the pitches were okay when they were playing Baltimore and Detroit and playing these teams like that.
Well, you haven't played those teams yet, Alan. You haven't played those teams yet since the crackdown, have you?
Not since the crackdown.
Well, let's see.
After tonight, they go to Atlanta. Another team that can't pitch, but a great hitting team also. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see when they play the Baltimore and Detroit. I'm not saying. I say the staff stinks. But we knew it stunk before. But they were all stars because they were playing these teams.
Well, it's a bad confluence. Let's say that. You picked a bad time to hit a hard part of your schedule right when MLB is telling you can't cheat anymore. So they should, you know.
Again, what the hell are you supposed to think? It's just kind of common sense.
No, but I mean, obviously the teams you're playing are a factor, but you put them together, you can't cheat, and you're facing teams that can hit. You see what's happening. Eight home runs allowed.
I mean, that's they have 14 in the series. 14 in three games. Now, granted, they had one in the first. On the last two, they've hit 13 home runs. It's ridiculous.
Richards on Saturday allowed 12. Oh, on Friday. 12 balls on Friday with exit velocities over 100 miles an hour.
Yep. Good thing they weren't up in the air.
12. I mean, you kill people. You break ankles with that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No. They're going to tape little transponders to them next time so people can pay tolls on the pike with them.
Scott and Stoneham, quickly.
How you doing, guys? Quick bees question. Where does the medical staff fall into all of this? I thought they had a big say in who plays and who doesn't when it comes to injury. So, I'll hang up right now and just want to hear you guys.
Okay, so the medical staff, goalie Bob, like all these ancillary things, you would have liked someone to step up and say he's not right. But it's up for Cassie to use his eyes and show some instincts and show some balls and make a decision that's best for the team and play the best player that gives you the best chance to win, not the one that's safe or comfortable or that the players want. And he failed in that. The whole team failed in that. The email of the day has returned this
morning. Oh, goody!
It's the Muncast email of the day!
Here we go.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Maz is a boob.
The Muncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
The email of the day, in case you've forgotten, is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast. It's M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Maz earlier was going on about the Patriots offense and these offseason signings being not all that hot. We've overrated all these guys. The Pats have overpaid for them. And he thinks the offense really still not all that much. Not all that great. Colleen writes in, you guys are unbelievable. You have said for years, you guys have been saying they overpaid for these players. And from the inception of your show, you have been ranting that the Patriots are cheap. Now today, you are complaining that they overpaid for the new free agents.
Well, they did.
So are they cheap or do they overpay? You guys are amazing. Signed, Colleen.
Well, wait a minute. Like, first, they did overpay. Why can't both be true? They got themselves, even the owner of the team admitted we mocked teams for doing this, and then we had to go out and spend it. He's pissed about it, too. Don't kid yourself. He's mad at Bill that he had to shell out $250 million or whatever the hell he had to pay for these guys. Don't kid yourself. They didn't want to spend this money. They had no choice.
But, Colleen, if your point is we will rip them when they spend and we will rip them when they don't spend.
Well, that's fair.
Correct. Excellent.
Yes, that's right. They can't win.
Here comes the final word. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope. Jeff.
All right, a throwback of sorts here for the final word today. Apparently, Maz, you heard, Cat Stevens' Peace Train over the weekend?
Yeah, I texted Jimmy about this. I was in the car, and I heard Cat Stevens' Peace Train, and I immediately thought of Jimmy.
And why is that?
No idea. Well, you'll remember. Right. You'll remember. This was an all-timer. Like, you'll remember this when you hear it.
Okay.
I started peeing my pants in the car. I started laughing out loud, and I had to text Jimmy right away. Oh, God bless. Thank you, Jimmy.
Maz doesn't know if Boston's up for the Summer or Winter Olympics, but he knows crap like this, and this is why.
I'm a homeowner.
This is what he spends his time on.
Yeah, I work around the house.
Okay. Hey, that MBTA's working just great through this, isn't it?
Now I've been happy lately.
By the way, all rail service on the MBTA has been suspended.
What does this
tomorrow
have to do with the Summer Olympics?
That just speaks to dysfunction within
the
MBTA.
No, it doesn't. It has to do with the city not being built for 5 feet of snow. If we're going to get 5 feet of snow...
Mike, how do you get to the Olympics?
There are these trains.
But now do you get there?
Jimmy, not through 5 feet of snow.
You can't get there without rail service.
You'll have rail service.
Jimmy takes the team.
You'll have rail service in July. I don't understand you. The rail service is kaput because of the snow.
Come on, the peace train.
Right, with this volume of people.
There's no people out there. It's the snow. It's the people.
I mean, because they're telling you it can't be used.
Come on.
Because of the snow, Jimmy.
Right. They're telling you that they can't handle a disaster. The Olympics are going to be a disaster.
No, that's not what they mean by that. That's like a metaphorical thing.
We struck a nerve.
Boy, did we ever. Thinking about the world as it is. Disaster.
That's not what they mean by that.
Come on, peace train. Yes, it's the peace train.
There we go. Of course I remember.
The Olympics are going to be a disaster. taking a little editorial license.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.